Good morning. Today's daf is Bava Kamma, daf Nun Aleph. We left off on daf Nun Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. We are three lines into the medium-sized lines. So we had left off yesterday with a discussion of all the various shaped boros that are mentioned in the Mishnah on the middle of Nun Amud Beis. And we were explaining why the Mishnah had to mention each one of them. The punchline is, we'll recall that there was a machlokas as to why one is chayiv if he digs a pit and somebody falls into the pit. The question is, what kills, what has the force that kills the person who falls into the pit? Is it the foul air in the pit? Is it the havala? Is it the hevel? Or is it the chavata? Or is it the impact of the person who falls? Is it the impact of the bottom of the pit for the person who falls into the pit? So today we're going to be discussing a bar of less than 10 amos. We had said, generally speaking, that the bar that the Torah is mechayev us for is a bar of 10 amos. We had said, is that necessarily a raya that the key here is the chibut, that the key here is the impact between the person and the bottom of the pit? We had said, no, it could just be that the bar that's ten tfachim deep, rather, has hevel at the bottom of the pit, but maybe a bar that's less than ten tfachim deep doesn't have hevel at the bottom of the pit. So over here, today's discussion, we're going to pick up with what happens if you dig a bar that's less than ten tfachim deep, whether there's hevel or not. We are then going to talk about the same way that you are chayiv if you dig a pit that's 10 tefachim deep. What happens if you build an elevation? We're going to talk about the elevation that they used to use to give people skila. The Mishnah in the middle of Nun Aleph on the Aleph is going to talk about a bar shel shnei shutfin, and that discussion is going to take us through the end of the daf. And the key is the key points are going to be what exactly. What does it mean to have a bar shel shnei shutfin? What does it mean when the Mishnah says that if the first person passes by and it's uncovered and doesn't cover it, but gives it to the second person and the second person doesn't cover it, the first person is putter but the second person is chayiv? Under what circumstances does that halacha apply? What happens if two people both play a role in digging a pit? If one of them digs half the pit, the other person digs half the pit, are they both chayiv? Is only one of them chayiv? Maybe only the one who is mashlim lasara is going to be chayiv? So we'll see all that. So we left off anyway, Nun Amud Beis, two dots, three lines down in the medium width lines. So Tanan, Hayapchusen me asarat tfachim, if the bar was less than 10 tfachim deep, Minafalatocha Shara Chamar Omeis, and a Shara Chamar falls into the pit and dies, then putter, then he's going to be putter. Why? Because he did not dig a pit that should have been sufficient to kill the Shar or the Chamar, because it should not have been deep enough. Vamhuzakbo, but if they were damaged, if they were injured, then Chayev, then he's going to be Chayev. Nafalatocha Shara Chamar Umeis putter, if a Shar or Chamar falls into the pit and dies, and the pit's less than 10 tefachim deep, the guy who dug the pit is going to be potter. My time, alami shem delesle chavata. Is it not because the reason that you're usually liable for a bar is because of the impact that the person experiences when the impact that the animal experiences when it hits the bottom of the pit, and over here there's not enough of an impact because it's not deep enough? Says the Gemara, lo, mishum deles be'avolets, because if the pit is not deep enough, if the pit is not 10 fachim deep, it doesn't have hevel, it doesn't have the foul air at the bottom of the pit. So says the Gemara, imhachi, if that's the case, ihachi. So it says, imhuzakbo, if the Shor HaMor was damaged by the fall to the bottom of the pit, chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv, then the balabar is going to be chayiv, but halesle be'avola. But if you're going to tell me that a pit that's less than 10 tefachim deep does not have what is called hevel, does not have the foul air at the bottom of the pit, and that's why you're not liable if the Shor or the Chamor dies, how would the Shor or Chamor be injured if there is no hevel on the bottom of a pit that's less than 10 tefachim deep? So Amri, so says the Gemara. The Gemara makes a distinction that we probably would have assumed. Ein avola lemisa v'yesh avola lenezikin. Not. It's not that there is no hevel. There is hevel. There is this stagnant air. There is foul air at the bottom of the pit that's less than 10 tefachim deep, but there's enough foul air to cause injury. There is not enough foul air to cause death. So therefore, if the ox gets injured, you're going to be chayiv. If the ox dies, you're going to be potter. Says the Gemara now a story. Ahutura denafa la arisa de deloy. There was a certain shor that fell into an irrigation ditch, an irrigation ditch was, Rashi points out, was 6x6, so it was not 10 tfachim deep. So the irrigation ditch was 6x6, happens to be a 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim is an amma. That's why the, or 6 tfachim is an amma, that's why the irrigation ditch was called an amma samayim, because it's 6 tfachim wide, 6 tfachim deep, but the key is, it's not 10 tfachim deep, and therefore there shouldn't be this hevel there. So Shechti Marei, the owner of the ox, shechted the ox right away. Tarfei Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman said that the ox is a treifa. Why did Rav Nachman say the ox is a treifa? Rashi points out it's Mishum Risuke Evarim, because there are different types of treifas. I think there are 18 different types of treifas. One of them is where the bones are shattered. So the type of treifa where the animal's bones are shattered, it means that there is no apparent, there is no identifiable injury, but it's sustained an impact so that you know that there's got to be some sort of internal dislocation going on. That's what it means, that the bones were shattered. And so Rashi points out this is one of the Yuches Trefos, and Rashi cites the Gemara in Chulin, Nafla Min Agag, that if the animal falls from a roof, Afal Pi D'lo Chazina Bei Maka, even though we don't see an identifiable Maka, Elashen Yachal Lamod, but if it's not able to stand up, Barminan Hasam Im Shasam Eis La'eis V'Shachta, if you keep it around for 24 hours and it doesn't die, and then you shecht it, it's going to be Kshera, V'im Amda V'Holcha, and however, if we see the animal getting up right after the fall and walking around, then ain't Shricha Meis La'eis, then you don't have to wait the 24 hours, V'Shar Zeh Lo Amad. However, this Shar didn't stand up after the fall, and the guy didn't wait 24 hours. So again, the halacha is if the animal has this mum, or if the animal has this this injury that's called risuke evarim, you need one of two things in order to take it out of the realm of being a treifa. Either it's alive for 24 hours, or it gets up and walks. This shar fell into the irrigation ditch, never got up and walked. Guy didn't wait 24 hours. He shechted it right away. Tarfa Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, your ox is a treifa. Some Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said, he made the following observation. Ishoko mori dahaitu rekava dekamcha. If the owner of this shor would have invested a kav kemach, so, you know, a little bit amount of time, right, little opportunity cost to stop working, go to the base medrash, ask the Rav the Shaila, what should I do? My ox fell into the irrigation ditch. Vazal tana bebedrasha, and he would have asked a question in the base medrash, im shosam eis leis ksheira, and he would have been told that all you have to do is leave it there for 24 hours, because if you leave it there for 24 hours and it doesn't die, then it's going to be considered a ksheira, it's not going to be considered a treifa, lo afsidei letura deshava kama kave, that he would not have been mafsid the shor, which is worth so many kav of wheat. So in other words, because he was hasty and didn't take the time to invest in asking the question properly and seeking guidance, he ultimately wound up losing. He thought he was jumping the gun, he thought he was gaming the system by shechting it right away and was going to preserve his ability to eat the shor. Well, he was disappointed because, as it turns out, he dafka was not able to eat it because then it was considered to be a treifa. But why do we bring down this whole story other than to teach me the Hilchas Treifas and the value, the virtue of patience? So Alma Ksavar Nachman Yesh Chavata B'Pachos Me'asara. Well, what happened? The shor fell into an irrigation ditch. Rav Nachman said that it was a treifa because of Risuke Evarim. It's mashma, therefore, that there is chavata, that the animal can experience this type of injury from impact, even if the ditch is less than 10 tefachim deep. That if a person digs a ditch, digs a pit, and the pit is less than 10 tefachim deep, and a shor chamor fall into the pit, then the person is going to be putter. My time, lamishum de lesbe chavata. Is it not because the ditch is not deep enough to cause chavata, to cause impact? So if it's not deep enough to cause impact, why do we assume that this shor, which fell into the irrigation ditch, which is only 6 tefachim deep, experienced the impact, and therefore had risuke varim? So says the Gemara, lo, mishum delas peyavola. It has nothing to do with the impact that one sustains at a distance of 10 tefachim. It has to do with whether there's hevel, whether there's foul air at the bottom of this pit that's less than 10 tefachim deep. So says the Gemara, ihachi, huzak bo chayev. So why do you say that if the animal was injured, however, then you're going to be chayev in a pit that's less than 10 tefachim deep? Halas peyavola. I thought there is no hevel in a pit that's less than 10 tefachim deep. So the Gemara explains, the Gemara answers what we just saw. So merle, ain hevel amis. No, there is no hevel for misa purposes, but there is hevel enough to cause damage. Says the Gemara Vayter, Eisvei, so the Gemara has Sakasha, Beis HaSkila, Yigavoa Shtei Komos. The Beis HaSkila, so the way they would administer Skila, let's remember, is that they would take the person up to the top of a building. The top of the building now, we'll see, was two, when we say two stories, we don't really mean two stories, we mean two times the height of the person. But they would push him off a roof from a height, and the person would fall. If the person died from the fall, good. If the person didn't die from the fall, then they would throw stones on him. Okay. So Beis HaSkila Yigavoa Shtei Komos. So the Beis HaSkila was two stories high, two times the height of a person. V'tani Ala the Koma Shalo, and also you have to add his own height because there is a building that is as tall as two men, and then he's standing on top of the building, and then he falls, and when he falls, he would fall head first. So he would just fall down, and he would fall head first. So V'Koma Shalo Reikan Shalosh. So you add his own height, and there you have the height of three people. That says the Gemara. And if you want to assume that the issue with a bar is that there is chavata when it is 10 tefachim deep, why would you have to make the Beis HaSkila? Why would you have to make the Beis HaSkila so high? So says Tosfos, but just parenthetically, he said the second Tosfos on the Amud, Navid Pchusa Me'asara, so Vahashta Medami Trefas Adam, Trefas the Behema, Vechem Be'ele Trefas. So Tosfos just points out that this whole Sugya, we're assuming that whatever is sufficient to cause damage via impact to an animal, that's the same height or the same depth that's going to cause damage to a person. Meaning, what causes an animal a trefa, what causes an animal to become a trefa, is also causing a person to become a trefa. It's a kasha, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos says, who's mechalik between an animal and a person. Okay, but the kasha is, if there's chavata b'pachus me'asara, if you want to say, like this animal that fell into the irrigation ditch, and Rav Nachman said it's a trefa because it experienced a chavata, so if you could have a chavata, if you could get injured from the impact, if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, lemali kuli hai, why do I need the base of skila to be so tall? Well, tameich, so says the Gemara, well, what are you asking me? You're asking me only, because I'm the one who holds that you could have a chavata in less than 10 tefachim? Well, tameich, navad asara. According to you, what do you hold? You hold that there's a chavata when it's 10 tefachim deep, or when you're falling from a height of 10 tefachim. So why are you asking only according to me? According to you as well, you should only... why do we have to make the Beis HaSkila three stories high? Just make it 10 tefachim high. So says the Gemara, Elak Rav Nachman. Because we all like Rav Nachman. Yom Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravu, Amar Kra, V'yahavta L'reyecha Kamocha. Says the Pasuk, V'yahavta L'reyecha Kamocha, Baro L'misa Yafe. You have to choose for him a nice death. What does it mean, a nice death? It means a death that is immediate, and that's as painless and as quick as possible. Now, if you push somebody from a distance of only 10 tefachim, or certainly less than 10 tefachim, maybe there will be enough of a chavata to cause damage, maybe not. Whereas if you push him from a height of three times the height of a person, then there's enough certainly to cause damage, and the death is going to be hastened. That's what we want to do. Alts midos tovos, alts v'yavta l'reyecha kamocha. So says the Gemara, Yachi Nak V'tveh. So why are you stopping from the height of three people? So just push them off the 40th story of a skyscraper. So says the Gemara, well, Mishum de Menavla, because if you push them off from two eye, so Rashi says, and he's going to become a varm, then his body's going to become dismembered. That's also not right. It's also not nice. So therefore, we calculated this exact height, that if we push him off, it's sure to cause death, but it's also not going to result in his body being disfigured. So says the Gemara Vayter. So Eisvei, again, trying to prove what the issue over here is, whether it's Chavata or whether it's Hevel. So Kiipol Anofel Mimeno, this is talking about the Chiev to build a Maka around your Gag, around your roof, lest Kiipol Anofel Mimeno, lest somebody fall off of the roof. So Mimeno V'lo B'tocho. So it says, Mimeno, we're only afraid of people falling off the roof, we're not afraid of people falling onto the roof. How in the world could somebody fall onto the roof? So Ketzad, Haya Rishos HaRabim Gavoa Mimenu Asaret Tfachim. If the Rishos HaRabim was 10 Tfachim higher than your house, for example, right there was like a little mountain and then a little valley, and your house was in the valley, so your roof is lower than the 10 Tfachim lower than the Rishos HaRabim that's adjacent. V'nafal Mitocha Litocho. Somebody falls from the Rishos HaRabim into your house, there is no mak on your house, on your roof, putter, then you're going to be putter. If Rishos HaRabim is 10 tefachim lower than the roof, Menafal mitocha letocha, and somebody falls from the roof into Rosh Hasharabim chayev, then it's going to be chayev. Visal kadaitach yesh chavata b'pachos meyud lamli asara. But if you want to say that there is chavata, that there is an impact caused, and it could be a fatal impact caused by something, by a distance of less than 10 tefachim, why do you require a makkah only when the difference in height is 10 tefachim? So Malay Shani Bayas to call Pakos Measura Lav Bayasu. The reason is because it's
not that tense, but we're not making a statement that there's only damage or there's only a potential for injury when somebody falls from the height of 10 tefachim. What we're saying is the chiyuv that the Torah put on us to build a makkah is only when something is called a house. It's only when you build a house. It says kisivne bayis chadash in the pasuk v'yasisa makkah l'kagecha. So the chiyuv to build a makkah is only when you have something that's called a house. If you have something that's less than 10 tefachim tall, then if you have something that's less than 10 tefachim tall, then you're not chayef to put a mak on it. The Chazon Ish explains over here that the reason that it requires the shame of a bias is because usually you should only be required to put a safeguard around something that's inherently dangerous. This house is not inherently dangerous, but it's also private property. So therefore we're medaktik that when the pasuk says kisivna bias, it's only something that has the status of bias, not something that lacks the status of bias. That's why we need the house to be 10 tefachim high, again, not because of the impact, but because that's what gives it the status of a bias. Says the Gemara, well, ihachi hashtanami davi me'avroya sara. Now, okay, but let's say if you have a house that's exactly 10 tefachim high, so what constitutes the house? What gives it the shame of a house? It should be that there's 10 tefachim of living space. But if everybody knows, if you have a house that's 10 tefachim high, unless it's constructed out of paper, there is less than 10 tefachim of living space because you have the width of the ceiling, you have the width of the floor, so you're left with less than 10 tefachim of living space, so it shouldn't be considered a house. So says the Gemara, so says Iochi Ashtanami Davi Mavroya Sara Domine Tikra Maziva Megavoy Lavile Asara. So any house that on the outside is 10 tefachim, on the inside with the living space is not going to be 10 tefachim. Samarlay Kigon the Chok Megavoy, that he dug out the floor inside, so even though the outside is only Bidiyuk 10 tefachim high, inside it's also 10 tefachim of space because he dug down into the earth a little bit. So in that case, why are you makbid on the house being 10 tefachim high? I thought we just proved that even when the house is less than 10 tefachim high, if you dig down into the earth, then you might have a house that's 10 tefachim high, even though from the outside it's only 9 tefachim high. Maybe the house is only 8 tefachim high, but you dug 3 tefachim down into the earth. So why are you telling me that I'm only chayiv when the house is 10 tefachim high? So lahainu taima, the Rav Nachman Savar, mikresa detura la'ara kamahave, that how, what distance is there from the abdomen of the shor to the earth? Arba tefachim, there's four tefachim distance from the abdomen of the animal to the earth. Aresa dedali kamahave shisa, and the irrigation ditch is 6 tefachim deep. Ha'asara, so 4 plus 6 is 10 tefachim. In other words, now the Gemara is revisiting and explaining the Shita of Rav Nachman. It's not that Rav Nachman says that all you need is 6 tefachim for an impact. It's Rav Nachman says if you calculate the distance between the stomach of the animal and the ground, plus the distance, plus the depth of this irrigation ditch, you get to 10 tefachim. Because the animal, I guess when the animal falls, it falls just stomach first because its legs don't support it. So you add the distance between the legs and the ground into the calculus over here. So Rav Nachman's not really saying that there's an impact in less than 10 tefachim. He's disputing how you calculate the 10 tefachim. So ishtakach dekicham mechaveit me'asarahu dekam mechaveit. So it turns out that when you experience the impact, you experience the impact from a height of 10 tefachim. So lemasisim dektoni ma barshu kedei lahamis yud tefachim af kol sheyesh bo kedei lahamis yud tefachim b'shisa nami sagi. So in that case, in the Mishnah, why are we saying that a bar is only kedei lahamis when it's 10 tefachim deep? It should be kedei lahamis when it's 6 tefachim deep, because you also add to that 6 tefachim the 4 tefachim between the abdomen of the shor and the ground. So anything, once you get to 6 tefachim, you should always add plus 4, and 6 plus 4 is 10. So why are you specifying 10 tefachim in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Amri Masisin, the Ignader Labar. Because the Mishnah is solving for a situation where the the bar is the Mishnah solving for a situation where the shart is lying on the ground and then literally just rolls into the pit. So when it's lying on the ground and it rolls into the pit, we can no longer calculate the difference between the abdomen and the ground because it's not standing. That difference, that height difference is only apparent when the shart is standing. And therefore, in order to solve for a case where the shart is lying down and rolls directly into the pit, we have to be talking about a pit that is 10 tefachim, that is 10 tefachim deep. So says the Mishnah, Bar shel shnei shutfin, if you have a bar that belongs to two shutfin, avar alav harishon velo kiseyu, the first one passes by the pit and doesn't cover it up, vasheni velo kiseyu, and the second one passes by the pit and doesn't cover it up, hasheni chayev, the second one is going to be chayev. So Rashi points out over here that the Gemara is going to talk about a situation where the first one was drawing water from the pit. He finished, but the second one was still there, and therefore the Rishon is going to be putter, even though when he leaves the pit is not covered, because he is rightfully somech on the fact that the second one, who's still busy drawing water from the pit, is going to cover the pit when he's done. So that's why the first one is going to be putter. So we'll see in the Gemara that it's not a blanket tour. It really depends on the situation as it existed when the first one was there and then when he left and what the second one was doing at the time. So says the Gemara. So let's see. So Amri, Bar Shel Shnei Shutfin. Over here we're talking about a Bar Shel Shnei Shutfin, but I'll ask you a basic kasha. Hechi mishkachasla. How can we find a case of a Bar Shel Shnei Shutfin? Hanechi Sfira Lake Rabbi Akiva Demar Bar Bishuso Chayev. Einstein, according to Rabbi Kiva, remember yesterday we saw Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, whether the bar that you're chayef for is a bar b'shus harabim or a bar b'shus hayachid. And then we saw further Machlokas, I think it was Rabbi Rav Yosef, who said whether everybody agrees by bar b'shus harabim and the Machlokas is by bar b'shus hayachid, or everybody agrees by bar b'shus hayachid and the Machlokas is by bar b'shus harabim. But either way, we saw Machlokas, can a bar b'shus hayachid, is that the type of pit that the Torah actually assesses and imposes liability for? So I understand, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says a bar b'shus chayev, that you are chayev for a bar that's in his rishos mishkachas labachatzar shel shneyan. So I have a bar shel shutfin. If there's a chatzar that's owned by shutfin, and there's a bar in that chatzar, they dug the pit, they were mafkir just the area around the pit, but the pit is in their jointly owned chatzar, then it's going to be a jointly owned bar. Ubar shel shneyan vefkira rishusan v'lo vefkira baran. Right? So the pit belongs to both of them because it's in a chutzar that belongs to both of them. They were mafkir the rishus immediately outside the pit. And again, yesterday we saw that you have to be mafkir that rishus because if not, you're not going to be chayiv because you could say, what business did you have walking right near the opening of my pit? But vifkir rishus, I'm lo vifkir baran. So they were mafkir the rishus, they were mafkir the bar. Says the Gemara, le'is firulei, bar b'shus ha-pater, but if you want to hold like Rabbi Shmuel that a bar b'shus, that a bar in an individual b'shus is going to be pater, hechi mishkachasla. How can you ever have a bar shel shnei shutfin d'chayev aleha? So d'chayev aleha, that you're going to be chayev on it. So says the Gemara b'shus harabim, that it's in b'shus harabim. B'shus harabim bar shel shnei shutfin hechi mishkachasla. But in b'shus harabim, how can you ever have a bar shel shnei shutfin? In other words, the shutfin don't have any chelak in b'shus harabim at all. It's not a bar shel shnei shutfin. That's a bar b'shus harabim. So says the Gemara, Idishavi Shliach Tarvayu, Vyamrile Zil Karila, Vazil Karilhu. Now says the Gemara, okay, maybe let's not focus on who owns the pit, let's focus on who commissioned the digging of the pit. Let's say the two guys jointly go over to a Shliach and they say, both of us want to deputize you as a Shliach to dig a pit. And this guy goes and digs the pit. So maybe the two shutfin are going to be chayiv if any animal falls into it and dies. Says the Gemara, no, the two people aren't going to be chayiv at all. Why? Because ain't shliach ledvar avera. Because there is no shliach ledvar avera, and therefore they're not going to be chayiv at all. So the idachara, and because ain't shliach ledvar avera, says Rashi, divrei harav, divrei hatalmud, divrei mishomin. Therefore, the people who sent the shliach are not chayiv. Only the shliach is going to be chayiv. So it would not be considered to be a bar shel shnei shutfin. So the idukara haichamisha vahaichamisha, and if you want to say it's a bar shel shnei shutfin because they both played a role in the digging of the pit, so nistalkalu maisa rishon. So then the maisa of the rishon was set aside. In other words, the five tefachim that the first one dug is ignored, and the entire pit goes after the second one. So says the Gemara, well, honey, chala Rebbe, this is good according to Rebbe Ulanazikin. We're going to see a machlokas, Rashi points out, we're going to see a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, that Rebbe says that if both of them dig a pit, if one of them digs five tvachim and the other one digs five tvachim, even though only the second one bears liability, lagabe misa, because it was the second one who completed the pit to a depth of 10 tvachim and caused it to be able to kill somebody, they're both equally chayev if an animal fell in and was damaged. Why? Because in order to be damaged, you don't need a full depth of 10 tvachim, and they both contributed to the depth. So, okay, so but if you want to say that the bar shel shnei shutfin is that it's in Rishus HaRabim, one guy dug five tvachim, the other guy dug five tvachim, and therefore they're considered to be both shutfin in that they're both going to be chayev. Hani chala Rebbe l'nezikin mishkachas la, elul Rebbe l'misa, but if we're talking about liability for death, then it doesn't work according to Rabbi Ula Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan always say that we follow the last person who digs it to a depth of 10 tfachim. Bein lamisa, bein lezikin echim mishkachasla. How would you ever have this bar shel shnei shutfin? So I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, kagon sha'akru shneim cholye babas achas. So let's say one of them dug to a depth of 9 tfachim. The two of them, like in a groundbreaking ceremony, they both take the shovel, and they both jointly dislodge the last clod of dirt, and they both therefore jointly dig the last tefach, Veshlimu la Asara. So that's how you could have a bar shel shnei shutfin. It's not that one dug five, the other dug five. It's that there was nine, and then they both came and dug the tenth. Says the Gemara, you are making allusions to Rebbe and the Rabbanan and Lezikin and Amisa, and we have no clue what you're talking about. What are you talking about here? So my Rebbe and my Rabbanan. What is the Shita of Rebbe? What's the Shita of the Rabbanan? The Tanya we learn in the Braisa. If a guy digs a pit that's 10 tefachim deep and somebody else comes and that's 9 tefachim deep, somebody else comes and digs the 10th tefach, digs the 10th tefach, achron chayiv. That Rabbanan say that the last person is going to be chayiv because he was the one who was mashlim to asara. Rebbe Yomer achar achron lamisa. If we're talking about an animal falling into this pit and dying, then we follow the last one, v'achar shneiem l'nezikin, and both of them bear liability, both of them bear responsibility if we're talking about nezikin. So my time at the Rabbanan, what's the reason of the Rabbanan who say that it's achar, that we follow the last one both for misa and nezikin? V'yamar kra, because the pasuk says, ki yiftach v'chiyikra. It says both ki yiftach and chi yichre. Imal apsicha chayev ala kriya l'kol shkein. If you're going to be chayev, if you merely open up a pit, isn't it a kal v'chomer that you're going to be chayev if you actually dig a pit anew? Says the Gemara, el lahavi kora achar kora. It comes to include a case where one digs after another, where both people dig. Shesilik maisa rishon, that we're masalik, the maisa rishon, we ignore the maisa of the first person in digging, and we follow only the second person who is mashlim the pit to a depth of 10 tfachim. So for Rebbe Yomer, hanulu mitroch tzwiche, kadamran. Well, we in yesterday's Gemara, we darshan what we learned from the psukim of kiyiftach v'chiyichre. So it's not available as a lima to teach me that it's the guy who finishes who bears all responsibility. So therefore I say that by Misa, yeah, follows the last guy, but by Nezikin, we apply liability, or we assume liability to both people. For Rabbanan, nami mitzrach tzrichi, but the Rabbanan also need v'chiyiftach v'chiyichre to teach me these other halachas that we saw yesterday. Elahina time at the Rabbanan, amar kra kiyichre ish bar, echad v'lo shnayim. That it says in the pasuk v'chiyichre ish bar, and therefore it says ish, we only apply liability to one and not to the other. Rashi points out that you don't have to teach me this halacha legabe misa, because by misa the first person who digs only five tfachim never dug down to a sheer misa, because the sheer of causing death in a bar is ten tfachim deep. The first guy only dug five tfachim. Elamai, why do I need this limud of kichra ish? It comes to apply liability only to one person, even legabe nezikin. If one person dug five, the other person dug five, or four and four, and an animal falls in and is damaged, only the second one's going to be liable. For Rebbe, Aumi Boyle, Kiyichra Ishbar Velo Sharbar. What does Rebbe do with the pasuk Kiyichra Ishbar? He says that he teaches me culpability only if a person digs a pit, but not if a person's animal digs a pit. So if a person shor digs a pit, that person is not responsible for the pit that his animal digs. The Rabbanan Trei Ishbar Ksive. The Rabbanan say if Kiyichra Ishbar, V'chiyiftach Ishbar, V'chiyichra Ishbar. That it says Ishbar twice in this context. So for Rebbe and Rebbe, I did the Ksiv. High, kasav high, that the second one is not miyusar for limud, it's simply for symmetry in the psukim. Says the Gemara, okay, well, let's back up. So we have this machlokas Rabbi Rabbanan, whether the last one is always going to be chayev, both for Misa and for Nezikin, or whether the last one's only going to be chayev for Misa, but not for Nezikin, which is the Shita of Rebbe. But if we have to assume that only one of them is going to be chayev, why is it necessarily the last one who we're assuming that it's chayev, and why not the first one? So says the Gemara, how do I know that it's to imply liability to the second guy? Maybe it's to apply liability to the first guy. Says the Gemara, because it says in the pasuk v'hames yelo ahuda kaved misa, that the mace belongs to the person that caused the death, and who caused the death? The second guy who dug it down to a depth of 10 tefachim. The pasuk of hames yelo is needed to teach me the halacha of Rava. If a sharp suli mekdashin, which is either a bechor that's a bal mum, or an animal that was designated for a carbon that develops a mum and therefore makes a puzzle to be brought on the mizbeach, but it's not a treifa, so it's still able to be shechted. However, there are other restrictions by a psule mekdashin. Since it was either a bechor or it was an animal that was designated as a carbon, it's enaroy legiza or liavoda. The only thing you're allowed to do is you're allowed to shecht it and you're allowed to eat its meat. So it's a limited use shar. So damar rava shar psule mekdashin shnafa labar putter. You're going to be putter for. You're gonna be putter for this, and certainly if it was still hektish, you're gonna be putter because we need it to be shareyehu, and hektish is not shareyehu. But even after it's hektish, if it's psulim mikdashin, if it falls into the pit, you're gonna be putter. Shnei amar v'amesi elo, the misha meshalo. Because the pasuk says v'amesi elo, you're only chayiv if an animal dies that the carcass would be yours to do with it whatever you want. And here it's not the case, because by psulim mekdashin it's not yelo, it's not v'amesi elo, because the only thing you're allowed to do with psulim mekdashin is shechten and eat it, but you're not allowed to do giza voda, etc. So amar v'lav memela shamet mina de'avad misa askinan. So says the Gemara, well, okay, look, v'amesi elo, yes, you do need it to teach me, you do need it to teach me this, to teach me this halacha that you're not chayev for a sharp suli and mekdashin. But what the Gemara is saying is v'amesi elo, you can't ignore that it also has a pasha pshat. And Rashi says, in other words, klamar tarti shamet minei. So we learn out two halachas from this pasuk. A, we learn out the halacha that you are not chayev if a sharp suli and mekdashin falls into the pit, that you're only chayev for a shar regarding which you could do anything you want with the carcass. And we learn that if we're going to apply liability to either of the two people, we are only going to apply liability to the one that caused the death, to the second person. It says the Gemara Vayter, two dots, three lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. Echad achofer bar asara, ubar acher veshlim alachof. Let's say a person digs a 10 tefach deep pit, and another person digs another 10 tefachim to make it 20. And then a third person comes and digs it down to a depth of 30 tefachim. Kulan chayavin, they're all going to be chayav. Raminus, frak the Gemara, echad achofer bar asara, b'acher v'siyed v'kayed. If a person digs a pit that's 10 tefachim deep, and somebody else comes and plasters the walls and embellishes the walls, Rashi points out, what difference does it make that the guy plaster the walls? When you plaster the walls, you're making it narrow. What do we know what happens when you're making a bar more narrow? It adds to the foul air that's on the bottom of the pit. So if a person digs a pit that's 10 tefachim deep, so it has whatever hevel it has, somebody else comes and is mosif hevel into the bar by making it more narrow, ha'achron chayev, then only the last one is going to be, then only the last one is going to be, chayev. So what's the difference between where the second guy comes and adds to the hevel, than where the second guy comes and adds to the depth? So just like when the second guy adds to the hevel, only the second guy is going to be chayev, so too, when the second guy adds to the depth, only the second guy should be chayev. So why is the first guy chayev here? So says the Gemara, Lema ha Rebbe v'ha Rabbanan. So let's say that let's say that that one is going like Rebbe and one is going like the Rabbanan. So says Rashi over here, Lema Hadiktani Chayavin, the Brisa that says that the Rol Chayav is Rebbe, Damar Lel Gabechofer Bartisha Hol V'Avad Boshir Nezikin, Davi Shutuf Benezikin, V'Chadavdi Kamoy Shir Misa, V'Kulan Shutufim Tachlume Misa. So let's say, just like Rebbe said, that if a person digs five Tvachim and then another person digs five Tvachim and then a shore falls in and gets injured, they're both going to be Chayav because they both contributed. So maybe, just like Rebbe says that you could have Shutufin in a bar, Lagabe Nezikin, if each one is digging a Shir Misa, maybe we have Shutfin in the bar Lagabe Misa, and therefore they're all going to be Chayav. Now, the Braisa that says that if there's a bar that's 10 Tfachim deep, and then another guy comes, and another guy narrows the pit and adds to the Hevel, only the second guy's Chayav, that's the Rabbanan who say that there is no Shutta for anything. It's always the last guy is going to be Chayav. So, Amar Rav Zvid, Lema HaRebi HaRabbanan, so Amar Rav Zvid, so says Rav Zvid, no, Hava Rabbanan. That both cases are the Rabbanan. They're both according to the Rabbanan. How are they according to the Rabbanan? Adkan lo kamri Rabbanan achron chayev elechad lo avad kama shir misa. When did the Rabbanan say that only the last one's going to be chayev? That's when the first one didn't dig deep enough to cause a shir misa. Avalechad avad kama shir misa filo Rabbanan mode de kula chayev. And however, when the first one was dug deep enough to make a shir misa, even the Rabbanan will agree that everybody is chayev. Iva Sayed Vakaya the Kavad Kama Shir Misa Vaktani Achron Chayev. You can't say that. In the second Brisa we had, the guy dug a pit that's 10 Tvachim deep, somebody else came and plastered the walls. So we said only the second guy's Chayev because he added to the Hevel, but the first guy dug a pit that was 10 Tvachim deep, so it was deep enough to cause Misa. So why isn't the first guy Chayev? Samri Hosam Shaloya Behevel Misa. Because the first pit was deep, but there was never enough hevel in the pit to cause death. Then the second guy was the guy who caused the hevel in the pit. Therefore, only the second guy is going to be chayev. Ikadamri, Amar Rav Zvid, or others say that Rav Zvid says, Hava Rebbe, they're both going like Rebbe. Achtek tani kula chayavin, shapir. So the Braisa that says that they're all chayev, I understand that's good because Rebbe's the one who says that there could be shutfin in the bar lagabe nezikin, and if they each dig to a depth that is likely to cause death, there could be shutfin in the bar lagabe misa as well. Hadik tani achron chayev, but the Braisa that says only the last one is going to be chayev, kagon shelo hayev hevel ol misa velo nezikin, that there was no hevel in the pit either for misa or for nezikin. Why do we have to say there was no hevel in the pit for Nezikin? Because again, if there were enough hevel in the pit for Nezikin, then Rebbe would make them shutfin over here. But Rebbe's not making them shutfin at all because there was not enough hevel for anything. Then the second guy came, he plastered the walls of the pit. He then created enough foul air in the pit, both for Misa and for Nezikin. That's why the second guy and the second guy alone is going to be chayev. So Amar Rava says like this, Hiniach Evan al Pibar, Nishlima La Sara. Let's say if you have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, a guy comes and puts a rock that's 1 tefach high right at the lip of the pit. So banu la machlokas Rebbe Reb Tarfon. So now we come on to machlokas Rebbe and Reb Tarfon. So says the Gemara Pshita. So this is Pashut. So in other words, what Rashi says, banu machlokas Rebbe la Reb Tarfon. So according to the Rabbanon, the last guy is going to be Chaya, Bein Lemisa, Bein Lenezikin, it's a Machlokas Rebbe Rabbanan, right? Because according to Rabbanan, only the last guy is going to be Chayev, and according to Rebbe, by Nezikin, they're both going to be Chayev. So in other words, why is this case any different? If you have a situation where there's a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, and then you're adding a stone to the lip of the pit, and you're creating a 10 tefach deep pit, we already saw the machlokas Rebbe Rabbanan, what happens and who bears liability when somebody comes and fills it out to a depth of 10. So what difference does it make whether I'm digging down an extra tefach or whether I'm adding an extra tefach height to get me to a depth of 10 tefachim? So Rabbanan, Sapshita, so it's Poshut. So says the Gemara, Amal detei melamatu dehavala dideka katalei, avalamala delo havala dideka katal emalo. Well, I might think that the only time you're chayev, the second guy is chayev and the second guy alone is where it's his hevel that is causing the misa because he's the one who dug down to the depth. But over here, where the second guy isn't digging deeper, he's merely adding a rock to the lip of the pit, maybe the Rabbanan would not be mechayevim, kamash malan, that they still hold chayev in that case. Boy, Rava, tam tefach, if a person filled in a tefach's worth of dirt, v'sili chavanav, let's say, right, we have the pit that's nine tefachim deep. Then another person came and either added a rock to the side of the pit or dug deeper. Now let's say the person filled the last tefach back with earth, the second guy filled back his last tefach with earth, or removed the stones that he had put surrounding the pit. Mahu, samir mina maid aved shakle. Do we say, well, why would you be mechayev that guy? Why would you be mechayev the second guy? Whatever he did, he then retracted, because either he filled in what he dug, or he removed the stones that were around the perimeter of the pit. Odilma nistalka maisa rishon v'kamele kule brishusei, or maybe that nistalka maisa rishon that we ignore the maisa rishon because that has already been removed, and therefore the entire thing is considered to be in the rishus of the second guy. Teku, so we leave it as a teku. Actually, we're out of time, so let's stop here. We'll have to pick up some ground tomorrow. Tomorrow is a longer daf, but it's also a little bit easier.